Hello, everyone. My name is Rob Scott from UC Today News, and welcome to our first Microsoft Teams news show of the year. So each month, I'm joined by Microsoft Teams expert and co-founder of Empowering Cloud, Tom Arbuthnot. And together, we discuss the latest Teams announcements and essential product releases with our panel of expert special guests. So a very big, warm welcome to everyone. Thanks for joining us. Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Yeah, really good. Thanks. Yeah, it's nice to be back in the mix now. We're mid-January. We were just saying off air that everything seems to be ramping back up now. And we've got some, even though it's been over the Christmas period, we have got some new news and announcements, which would be fun to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And then tell me, Tom, did you get one of those Microsoft Windows keyboards with a Copilot key for Christmas or what?
Not yet. It's on my wish list. Maybe next Christmas by the time they go into production. But yeah, that was Microsoft. One of Microsoft's December announcements, wasn't it? They're really talk about pushing AI. They even want to have a one button on the keyboard to launch Copilot. So that's interesting.
It's hilarious. Sometimes on UC Today, like the smallest things get tons of activity, and that article got loads and loads of visitors. Like people just interested in like, what's this button all about? You know, so.
Microsoft are masters of marketing around this Copilot stuff. My hat off to them and how well they've marketed it. And that's another thing where they've just made the conversation more about them and AI and Copilot and Windows. So yeah, we'll see how many OEMs adapt to that. I think it'll be a while coming, but yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's jump into the Microsoft Teams news for the month. We've got a few stories to run through. The first one was all around frontline workers. Glad to see they're in the spotlight again. Tom, tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, they really are in the spotlight. So one of the early in the year shows is the National Retail Federation show. I think that's in New York or in the US. And Microsoft have taken the opportunity to announce a whole bunch of kind of updates and changes focused on frontline worker retail. So things like shifts and scheduling and sign in and sign out. But the big news for us on the Teams front, as well as those new features, is a new Teams phone license specifically for frontline workers. So it's an add-on to F1 and F3, which are the two frontline worker licenses, and it will give you Teams phone for $4 a user a month for those users.
Great. And they positioned that story all around retail specifically, didn't they? But I suppose this could be applied to other other industry.
Yeah, 100%. They tied it down to retail, I think, because of the show, and they're going to be at the show. But it's any frontline worker scenario. So it could be retail, but it could be any other scenario where you can have those type of on the road workers that, you know, typically are working from a tablet or a mobile device. Previously, the Teams phone standard could be attached to those licenses, but it was a little bit more expensive. This kind of brings it more in line of where people expect, because the frontline worker licenses are discounted. So it would make sense that phone is also less.
Excellent. Great stuff. Well, good to see. Moving on to our next story, Tom, another Operator Connect country on the list. Tell us more.
Yeah, this is a big deal. So we're up to 87 Operator Connect operators and 85 countries covered. But this country that got added just at the end of last year and the start of this year is India, which is a complex country from a regulatory point of view. It can be really challenging to deploy. Historically, you needed to deploy kit in the office to do local breakout with the relevant local telco. And now Airtel, Tata Communications and Tata Telebusiness Services are all offering true cloud Operator Connect. It's slightly different to any other country. You have to buy a license from those providers, and that's how they work the regulatory angle of this. But it's the first time we've seen a big UCaaS offering cloud-first connectivity from third parties, all native, all cloud.
Fantastic. Let's go over to Satish. And Satish, I'm interested to hear how do you look at this? What's the impact likely to be on the marketplace for this with this update?
From the marketplace perspective, most of the customers that are looking for having the telephony solution in India, like Tom mentioned earlier, they used to require to have a session border controller or an SBC on-prem every location or every office. That reduces a lot of CapEx investments which the organization required to do in those countries. So it's one of the things India was on the top of the list for Microsoft to get the Operator Connect services launched as soon as possible. One thing that Microsoft has done is, since the phone system would be managed by these operators, they don't fall into that prior regulation for India specifically, since the operators are managing this phone system. And that's the major reason why you need to purchase that phone system licenses as well from the operators.
Fantastic. Good stuff. Tom, are we going to see more on the list this year? Are you expecting Microsoft to carry on the same rate of knots or not?
Yeah, definitely. It slowed down for a while, but it's picked back up now. So it's kind of a question of whether we're going to hit 100 operators first or 100 countries first. Microsoft are pushing all the operators to go via the Operator Connect Accelerator partners now to onboard. So they go via a third party that helps accelerate them. But yeah, for sure, I think we're seeing, towards the end of last year, we were seeing one a week on average. I think we'll continue to see that tick up.
Definitely going to be the tougher half of the list though now, isn't it?
Yeah, we're getting into the more esoteric countries or challenging countries, but that's what Microsoft want. They want to have really good coverage for the customers. So they're really interested in operators that are prepared to do some of the countries that haven't yet been done. Another telco doing America is not super exciting. There's so much choice, but if you're bringing some of those more challenging countries, then it can be quite useful.
Superb. Well, next up, we said we'd talk about whether 2024 is going to be the year of Copilot or the year of Premium. This is quite interesting. Tom, tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's January, so year of feels like a topical conversation. And the obvious choice is Copilot, right? Because that's Microsoft's big push. Last year was hyping up the market, launching it to enterprise. And this year is really, can they make Copilot scale paid across the customer base? But something I've been tracking is these premium licenses. So it started with Teams. Teams has a premium add-on user license, so $10 per user list. You add it on, you get some extra features, which when Teams launched, it was quite unusual. That was, you have to buy the E3 or the E5, then you buy that on top. And now that trend seems to be going across the other product set. So Microsoft have announced a SharePoint premium, which will add some extra features, and a Planner premium, which for those following the Insider Baseball is kind of taking Project on the Web and making it part of the Planner brand. But nonetheless, it seems like the trend in Microsoft 365 is to have, you've got your core proposition in your suite, and then you'll have this option to add a license here, add a license there. I mean, Microsoft are a commercial organization, right? It's their job to try and make money. That's what they're doing. For customers, it can be quite challenging though, because it's who gets what, why do they need premium, who needs premium? Like, what do I buy all these licenses for all these users? So it makes the conversation a little bit more challenging on the customer side.
Well, for a few hours, just very recently, they were the most valuable company in the world, weren't they? And they tipped Apple. So maybe there's some internal memo that's gone around and says, we need a load more premium licenses, everyone, because we've got to tip Apple again this year.
Well, I mean, you know what? It's all about ARPU, and it has been at the average revenue per user, and it has been for a couple of years now. It's about, we've got, these 400 million, give or take, Microsoft 365 users. How do we now up the revenue per user? And that's part of that valuation in the stock market. It's like, oh, everybody's going to buy AI, everybody's going to buy this, everybody's going to buy that. That's where the valuation comes from. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like you've really got to give Copilot that vehicle, haven't you? To, it is a premium product. That's, they've just invested a ton of cash into it. It makes sense. So let's go over to Amanda, first of all, to hear what she's got to say on this one.
Yeah, and Tom, I'm just thinking, besides this, we also have Viva, and Viva, that's not premium, but it's also like an extra thing to pay for.
Yeah, good point. Another add-on.
Yeah, and it just adds up a lot. So I'm just thinking, like, when will Microsoft, I don't know, have like a new level of E7 or something to have everything in one package? Because, I mean, Copilot, Viva, Teams Premium, now SharePoint Premium, Planner Premium, I think that's a little bit lame with Planner Premium. But besides that, it's so much money. And but yeah, of course, Microsoft, they want to make money.
You get it. Sounds like Amanda gets it. Maybe not, doesn't like it, but I think a lot of us are going to be similar. Satish, what do you think?
Now, in terms of the premium capabilities coming in, things have been like, there are features that Copilot and Premium is doing together, and then there are overlapping features as well. So Microsoft would have to finalize and make that boundary on the features, like this features would be a part of Premium but would not come in Copilot. only then the premium services would be a value for the customer as well. The talks about E7, everyone has been asking, when are you bringing up the new E7 SKU? When we were speaking with Jeff during the Ignite time, he was like, no, we are not doing it. There is no roadmap of E7, but you never know. It could be something that could come in 2024.
I think the push in the EU with bundling and competition and teams having to be optionally broken out of the suite makes the E7 thing less likely, not from a commercial point of view, just from a legal point of view. If they start bundling a whole set of features again, they can't go to the European Competition Commission and say, well, you could buy our Planner Premium, or you could buy somebody else's project tool. You could buy our Copilot, or you could buy somebody else's AI. So I like you say, Satish, never say never, but I think it's unlikely they'll go back to that kind of super sweet notion.
You know, a girl can dream, right?
For sure. Like, from a customer point of view, I pay my one price and I get everything forever. Seems like a nice idea.
Yeah, maybe a pipe dream. Anyways, it's not been a year without Microsoft. U-turning is not a Microsoft year, is it? So they could turn around on this one and go, we made a mistake. There's no premium, but it looks like premium is here to stay for at least the foreseeable. So we're going to keep an eye on that ongoing. Tom, I'm sure we'll come through all the updates, and great to hear your feedback. Yeah, love to hear your feedback either on social or on the show. So next up, we said we'd talk about another kind of solution within Microsoft Teams, Tom, around joining team work meetings from the free license. Tell us more about that one.
This is really plugging a usability gap. So we have Teams commercial, Teams, you know, you use at your work or in education or in business. And then we have Teams free, or it's been called Teams for Life in the past, the Outlook.com consumer, completely free to use. And curiously, you can't join a meeting between either of them. So you, more typically, a business might have an interview set up on Teams for work, Teams normal, and they would invite somebody, and they're obviously not a part of that organization. So they use the free Teams and they can't join the meeting because they're two, even though they're called the same thing, they're two different products essentially. So Microsoft are now bridging this gap to where a Teams free user running the Teams free client, the Windows 11 client, can join a Teams for work meeting. And then the same thing in reverse, which I think is a less common use case, but somebody sets up Teams free for their, you know, hobby meeting or whatever, their club or their society, you're on your work computer, you can join seamlessly to that meeting. So nice to see Microsoft kind of plugging that usability gap. I don't think it's a super common use case, but nonetheless, it'd be frustrating if you're a user and you think you're running Teams and you go to join a Teams meeting and you can't join it because you're on a different version of Teams.
Interesting. So just for clarification, if I invite, so I'm a paid Teams user, if I invite my gran to a Teams call and she's never used Teams before and she clicks the download button and, you know, runs Teams to join my meeting, what addition has she got there?
So if she joins the meeting one time, she can join as an anonymous guest and she'll join in the web browser. It's if she runs Windows 11 and she logs into Outlook.com on Windows 11, because I know she's super down with it and she's running the, you know, the consumer Windows 11, she would have the Teams free client running automatically in Windows 11. And she might expect, I'm running Teams, why doesn't my client join it? It joins in a browser, and that's the experience. It's letting that full client join the meeting.
Understood. Oh, thanks for explaining that. I'm not going to invite my gran to any Teams call anytime soon. Well, they're swiftly moving on. Let's talk about Microsoft Loop in Teams channels. Tom, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, Loop was the big new thing for a while, and it's kind of Microsoft's equivalent to Notion, if you're familiar with that, a kind of an editing canvas tool where you can have tables and lists and charts, and you can embed them in email, in SharePoint, and it was promised in Teams. And then AI came along, and it feels like Loop went a little bit slowly, but now we've kind of closed the one of the big pieces on Loop, which is now you can embed Loop components in Teams channels. So channels are where we probably should be collaborating in Teams, And now I can have a loop component, say a list or a table in the Teams channel, but also have that same thing in email and same thing in SharePoint. And it doesn't matter where you edit it, you're editing the same, you know, table, list, canvas.
Nice. And is that an update coming through just that will just hit the channel, or do you need to enable that as an admin?
Yeah, no, it'll just start working. If you've got loop enabled, which you would have by default, it will be on your little drop down of things you can do in a channel. You can add a loop components.
Nice. Amanda, what do you think?
Yeah, I've been really enjoying to use Loop the last couple of months, and it will be nice to actually use it in Teams and not just with myself. I still feel there's a few things missing since the Loop components are stored like in a secret SharePoint folder, and I would love to be able to create a Loop workspace that's connected to a team. So I feel that there's like something's missing to make it smooth for collaboration in the team, but it's a great start, and hopefully we will get those things sometime in the future. I'm like chasing Microsoft, like make it better for teamwork, but it's a really nice product. It looks nice. I like to use it.
Yeah, I think the irony of it is it's a collaborative product, but it doesn't work that well cross-tenant yet as well, which is one of the things that, as a small organization, we're constantly working cross-organization. It seems like it would be the perfect tool, but because they haven't quite nailed that cross-tenant scenario of multiple different organizations collaborating, it's really for large internal collaboration, I'd say, is where it fits best right now.
Great stuff. Last update for today, we said we'd talk about Teams Android Auto. So rejoice, Android fans, listen to this one.
Yeah, this has been a long time coming. So we've had, I mainly live on the Apple side of the fence, and we've had Apple CarPlay for forever on Teams. So you plug in your iPhone into your car, and you get a full Teams client. You get your meetings for one-click join. You can see your call history, all that good stuff. Android hasn't had the same thing, and it was announced at Google I/O way back early last year, 23, and now it's finally coming February time. So you'll have a full Teams client experience when you plug in on Android Auto.
Excellent. Because up until now, I'm an Android user. I know many of you are out there, so thanks for that as well. But we don't get the full edition in the car. You know, if you do have your mobile connected, you basically just get kind of like notifications, Tom. It seems a bit of a light version.
Yeah, you'll get push, because built into the Android OS, you'll get the push notifications will also come through to your screen on the car, I believe. But you don't have that ability to launch an app and one click to join your meetings, or see your recent missed calls to redial, those kind of things. So you'll get a full UI experience.
So this is a move to level up with Apple, right? We're not going to get any more, but we're going to probably get the same.
No, I think the same. Yeah. I'm curious why it took so long, because Microsoft on the whole are quite pro Android. Obviously they use it in all sorts of ways. But for some reason or other, it took a lot longer to come into Android. But yeah, I would anticipate they're mostly the same. I mean, if you want an interesting prediction or conversation, I'm curious when we're going to get Copilot as a voice agent. And is that going to be an app? So we just got Copilot on mobile for Android and iOS. Was it early this year or late last year? I can't remember. Over the Christmas period, I think it was early this year, as dedicated apps. Now, one of the use cases I can see for an AI assistant is voice commanding it from the car. So do we get that in the Teams app because you can get it in Teams, or do we get it in the dedicated mobile apps? That'll be an interesting one to watch for 24.
Well, will Google let you change the default? Because, in Android, you've got Google Assistant, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. You'll probably have to launch the app to get to your favored AI, if that is your favorite AI, versus the default of Siri or the Google version of Bard or Claude or whatever they choose to use.
I'm sure there'll be a hack out there somewhere if you want it. So, excellent. I wouldn't like to say. No comment. Anyway, swiftly moving on again to events. We've got a few events to plug, Tom. Top of the list is a fantastic UC event now, ISE.
Yeah, really looking forward to ISE. I'll be there again this year. As you say, it's traditionally was kind of more of an AV event, but now very much a UC event as well. So all particularly focused around Teams and all the device vendors and rooms and AV setup. So yeah, we should, in fact, I know we're going to get some device news out of that. So look out for the show next month and we'll give you the rundown of all the ISE news.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots and lots of hardware on show, I imagine, from all corners of the globe. So good stuff. Next up, Teams Fireside Chat.
Yeah, so looking into February, so not too many in-person events, but we've got Teams Fireside Chat with Michelle Bullman. He's doing, he's around devices and rooms and Teams, so he's going to be talking to us about Teams meetings and also some Copilot stuff, which will be really good. And we have the regular Microsoft Teams devices Ask Me Anything session, 19th and 20th of Feb. And that's a get together where we talk specifically about devices and phones and the hardware side of Teams.
Superb. Really excited for the rest of the year. I'm sure we're going to get lots of updates. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be busy. I think the big one, obviously, as we said, is going to be the AI story and getting beyond just the enterprise customers. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that, but also looking a bit further out. We're not that far from Enterprise Connect, and Enterprise Connect is usually a big news drop for Teams and UCaaS as well. So looking forward to that in March and getting some a big news drop early in the year there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's it from us. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can connect with Tom, myself, and our guest speakers on LinkedIn and possibly X. We're not all on X, but certainly some of us are. And our social links will be in the description today. So thanks to Tom and our guest speakers, and thanks to everyone for joining us. We'll be back again next month with another drop of essential Microsoft Teams news. Thanks for watching.